God is so good. I'm going to go over just a few announcements that we have here. And I'm going to keep it very real with you. I'm a real person, and we're going to have real church, okay? So if you're looking for like a scripted place and everything to be perfect, you won't find that here. But what you will find is people, just people. And I'm interested in people that want to just be as real as they can be. If you're not killing it this morning, or if there's something that you came in here discouraged about and someone says, hey, how are you? You know what? You don't got to say that you're fine. Amen. And so a couple of announcements that I do have is this Saturday, September 21st at 2 p.m., we are going to have a baby shower for baby Oakley. That is Tyler and Alyssa's baby. And that baby shower is going to be at the Paris Community Center at 2 p.m. at the Paris Community Center. And I hope that there's some ladies here. And you know what? I've heard actually that men are invited too. So Frank's going to be there. He gets to come and help me and enjoy the baby shower. And we had an amazing Manna Center ribbon cutting this week in the town. It was so good. Thank you to everybody that came, and it was a glorious event. It was just every time I even think about the Manna Center, I realize that what a miracle that God did. And so Harvest Festival this year is October the 27th. That is the last Sunday in October. We are collecting things right now. I got on Facebook the other day and was talking about chocolate, and we have enough chocolate. The only thing that we could use is perhaps some individually wrapped, maybe hard candy, maybe suckers, maybe Jolly Ranchers or something along those lines, but we have plenty of chocolate. The Harvest Festival is a church event. We have had it since day one. So we began the church in May of 1987. Yes. So we are doing, this is about the 37th or 38th year of that. And we are also collecting 2 liters of soda. It does not have to be name brand soda. Those items can be brought in, and there is a bin right behind the table as you come in. And Frank and I will be going to Little Rock this week, and the church was nominated and received an award called Acting Out Against Hunger Honoree. And that is a really big deal. That is a very, very big deal. The governor will be there. We are one of 10 places that is receiving that in the whole state. And so wherever God guides you, he will provide you. And so whenever you stay in God's will, all of your needs are met. And whenever you step outside of his will for your life, that's where you see things begin to happen where maybe your needs aren't met or there's something going on. And so, you know what, I encourage you today to stay in the center of God's will for your life. And I'm going to just open up. I don't want to be someone that most every service I'll have you stand to your feet, but I'm not going to do that this morning. What I'm going to do is just open us up in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for your word. And God, I won't ask you to bless your word because, God, your word is already blessed. But what I will ask you to do, Father in heaven, is bless the hearts and the minds of every person. Lord, that's sitting in the pew. God, that's sitting on their couch and they're watching this. Lord, nobody except you knows how they came in. Nobody except you knows how they feel. God, nobody except you knows exactly what they're going through. And so, God, right now, I commit this service to you. Lord, I hand it over to you. And God, I ask to be used as a vessel for you, Lord, to touch every person that came in here, God, and they're going to allow themselves to be the good ground for your word to fall on. Lord, I thank you right now that people are leaving here changed. And right now, I take authority over every hindrance that would try to come against this service right now, every distraction, God, every anxious thought right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority of it right now, and I tell it to cease in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have a cell phone right now, I'm going to ask you to turn it on silent or be quiet mode. And I want to invite you to be fully present in this service. The problem is with people in the generation that we are in today and in the world that we live in today is people, they will go to church or they will go and do something for God, but their heart maybe isn't in it. Or maybe they're on their cell phone the entire time. And you know what? I'm a very modern person, but the biggest part of me is very old school. I still believe that the Word of God, He means exactly what He says in His Word. And I believe that if we'll put that Word in our heart, God will begin to direct our path, and we will begin to hear the voice of God talk to us to where we can get ourselves where we're supposed to be. And so I invite you to be fully present. If you've got something in the crock pot, how many has got something in the crock pot today? One person, Brother Larry, what is it? It's a vegetable stew. We're coming over after. Alyssa, too, what do you got? A what? Italian beef. Now we've got competition. So, you know what, if you cannot have fun in church, boy, you're going to have a hard time living in the life that we're living in today. I want to minister to you today on your past hurts, your past failures, your past things that's got you. I want to encourage every person to live in today, to live right here in this moment, right here, right now. And there are times where in our life we walk around wounded because we are choosing to keep old hurts and old things, maybe old words that were said over us, old things that were done to us, old things that we did that we're not proud of, old decisions that were actually mistakes. And so I want to minister to you today on your past. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to begin to look at verse 18. Bring your Bible to church with you. My son always says, "Well, you got the overhead here, Carson Paul. I want you to begin to find this in your Bible." For those of you that don't know where Isaiah is, it's pretty much in the middle of your Bible. It's after Psalms. It's after Proverbs. Get in there. Get in probably about the middle portion. When we were a kid, when Casey and I were children, we had a game because back in the day, church was your entertainment. We didn't have all this stuff that competes with church services. We just went to church and that was the entertainment that we had. And we were here almost every day doing something. And Dad would say a verse and Casey and I, we would have our Bibles out. And I'm talking about, I was about 10 when I did this. She's 5 years older than me, but we did this our whole childhood. He would say a verse, and we would just rush to get there, and we'd see who would get there first. Well, I'll tell you, I'm the pastor. I got there first a lot. But I encourage you to get into the Word. I encourage you not to be a lazy Christian and just have everything handed to you, because let me tell you something, I can't spoon feed you every part of the Word that you need going up in your life. I'm going to say that one more time. I can't spoon feed you every part of the Word that you need up in your life right now. That's your job. Okay? So Isaiah chapter 43, I have learned that you can hang on every single word, so that's what we're going to do today. And the Word says, forget the former things. Somebody tell me what the word forget means. To not remember. Let it go. Amen. So the word forget, those are all correct, by the way. But the word forget, when you look it up and you look up the definition, it says to fail to remember. Now, a lot of people think that God's Word is just telling us all the good things to do, and it is, but it's also telling us to fail at some things. It's telling us to fail to remember the things that have got a hold of your life that you done did or that somebody did to you, or the words that were spoken over you, the disappointment that people did you wrong, that when they didn't do what they were supposed to do, when they didn't do what they said that they were going to do, when you didn't do what you said you were going to do, when you're living out a life because you made some choices and now you're living out in regret. See, the word is calling you to fail to remember those things. Be a failure at that. If you're going to fail in life, it needs to be what God tells you to fail at. And He tells us, if we just took the word forget out and just replaced it with fail, it says, fail to remember the former things. If you got to fail at something, let it be the word of God and what He tells you to fail to do. God tells you to forget the former things. God is telling us, He's commanding us to fail to remember the former thing that caused you so much pain and caused you so much grief. Because when we remember those things, we walk around wounded. We walk around with an open wound that it seems like can never be healed. You got to work at forgetting. And I'm going to explain to you how to do that today. There's things that God points out in His Word for us to remember, and there's things that He says to forget. We all know that when we take communion, almost every person will say, you know, when they're a pastor, they'll say, the Word says to do this in remembrance of me. God is pointing out that when you're taking communion, He wants you to remember what He did for us, what His Son did for us. And then when He says, forget, He's saying, forget those former things. So we see in the Word where God is saying, hey, forget these things, but remember this over here. Amen. If we would take the Word literally, we would have an easier time at some of the emotions that we face, because some of our emotions, they're off because we are simply not doing His Word. I'm going to say that one more time. Some of our emotions are off track. Let me just go a little bit deeper into that. I'm going to preach to you where I live, okay? If I allow myself to, I am prone to. I'm going to keep this real. I'm going to keep it so real that you're sitting here and you're shuddering in your seat. Because if, look here, if the pastor will keep it real, you will have a better time keeping this thing that we call life, keeping it real. Because if we don't, we're all saying, oh, we're fine, I'm fine, everybody's fine. And then we're confused in our life and we don't know who we are. We don't know what we stand for. We will say that wrong is right and right is wrong. And it's because we have confused ourselves, because we've allowed ourselves to get off emotionally. And a lot of our problems and a lot of our sin stems off of an emotion. And that's why it's important that people and believers keep their emotions in check. Now, I have been in the people business my entire life. I have been in the ministry my entire life. So there are things that because of that I am prone to have problems with. And one of them is depression. Because it gets depressing when you see people hurting all the time, okay? It gets depressing when people are stabbing you in the back all the time. It gets depressing when you hear all of what your critics have to say about you all the time. So I have to watch myself and guard myself, because I have the potential to be the worst heathen in the building. And I know it. And so because of that, I try very hard to keep my emotions in check. Do I fail? Absolutely. Boy, do I fail. But Tanya, it doesn't make me stop trying. So we have to learn how to do the Word, and the Word is saying, child of God, I want you to fail at remembering these things that have caused you all this grief and all this heartache. Because you're walking around wounded and you're having a hard time in your life because you will not allow yourself to heal. What is one of the names of Jesus? He's our healer. When you won't let God do His job, you're going to have a messed up life. And so it says, when it comes to our past and the former things, he tells us to forget them, to forget them. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I will have arguments with people in my head. I will have arguments with myself in my head. There's a lot of stuff that goes on up in this noggin. And I wouldn't want any of y'all to see it. Because it ain't good a lot of times. But what I will do is get up here and tell all y'all about it. Because I know that y'all got the same thing going on. Amen. And we got to address that because it's time for the believer to be emotionally healthy. Amen. So some of us are a collector of things. Does anybody in here collect anything? I don't care what it is, but you collect some stuff. Eli, honey, what do you collect? Plushies. You and Colton would get along great. He collects those too. Somebody else, tell me what you collect.
Guitars.
Lighters, okay.
Raiders memorabilia.
Miss Mary, what do you collect?
Green glassware.
Green glassware, okay. Now, Miss Barbara.
Elvis.
Why do I not find that shocking? Okay, brother in the front here, what do you collect?
Broncos memorabilia.
Broncos memorabilia, okay. So we all know what it's like to collect a little something, okay? We call those things. We collect things. We collect stuff. And let me tell you something. We as people, we collect, if we're not careful, you got to strive to not do this because it's human nature, okay? But we collect bad moments, bad words, bad memories, bad experiences, trauma, chaos, drama. And we collect those. And see, it goes against what the Word says. The Word says, forget the former things. So he tells you not only to not collect them, but he says, I want you to forget those. If you're going to have a hard time forgetting something if you've collected it. I'm going to have a hard time forgetting about Elvis if I got him all up in the kitchen. All right? But see, God's Word says you need to forget those things. So I'm going to ask you and encourage you today to be open that memory vault, open up your soul, open up your heart and say, God, I want you to come up in here and take some of this stuff out that's causing me so much heartache because you're walking around wounded. And see, when you're wounded, that's a perfect territory for the devil to come in and come in with the depression, come in with the anxiety, come in with the stress, come in with it ain't going to get no better, come in with the I'm never going to forget that. No. You're going to forget it because you're going to make the decision that you're going to. Amen. You're going to make the decision that it is really not by might. It's not by power. It's by His Spirit. Open up that door and let the Holy Spirit come in there and do His job. So the Word is telling us, forget the former things. We have collected things. We have collected those memories. We have collected those experiences. And we keep them. And on our worst days, we replay those. We remember those. And when you do that, it's like you're stabbing and hurting your own self. You're inflicting that pain all over again. See, and the devil wants to come in and keep you wounded. The devil wants to keep you wounded and he wants to keep you down because if he can keep you down, he won't have you up. God's trying to see, what did David say? Lord, you lifted me up out of the slimy pit that I was up in. See, the devil wants to keep you there, and God wants to raise you up. Now, in order to stay up and be up, God's saying, I want you to let me into that place where you got some pain up in there emotionally. If you ain't good emotionally, no part of you's going to be that great. I can preach this till the cows come home because I have lived this through and through. I've spent the days on the couch and couldn't do nothing. I've been there. And if I'm not careful and if I don't keep this heart guarded, I'll get there again. I've made a decision not to do that. You say, Pastor Kelly, how do I do it? I'm going to give you, I've wrote down some simple things. We're going to go to the Word. You know, I'm just not somebody that's going to tell you that you need to do something without telling you and showing you in the Word what to do about it. I don't believe in putting stuff on people without giving them a solution. So you're not going to hear a lot of my messages where I'm going to point out your problems and not give you a solution to them. So some of the things that I've written down is this right here. We've all got these things. How many of you, let's just take an honesty poll. You got something, but and on your worst day, it don't matter if this thing happened 20 years ago, you go back to that thing. You're going to go back to that person and what they said, how they said it, what they were wearing when they said it, what they did to you on that job. That boss was just a jerk. I can't stand them. I worked for them 50 years ago, and I still don't like them. Right? I get it. I get it. If you're a note taker, get your little pen out, get your paper out. Commit to not speaking about it out loud. Commit to not speaking about it out loud. You want to be emotionally healthy? I'm telling you. This is free. What I'm giving you right now, you'd pay at least $300 to sit on somebody's couch and tell them all your stuff. How do I know that? I've done that too. All right? And I'm for it, by the way. You're not going to hear your pastor up here saying, don't go to a counselor. You will never hear me say that. But what you will hear me say is let the Holy Spirit counsel you as well. He will give you something that a man can never give you. Commit to not speaking about it out loud. I told the two men in my life this week, have I failed a little bit? Yes, I have, but I've done much better. I've told both of them. This one over here, he's taking a little nap. But I said, I am not going to talk about da-da-da-da-da. So please, I'm asking you, don't talk about it with me. Because, see, I want to get over this. God don't want me stuck in this place. So please don't talk to me about it. Because, see, me and God, we got something going on, and I am getting through this. And when I am, I'm going to be better because I made that decision that I'm leaving that hurt behind me. So don't approach me with it, and don't talk with me about it. Angel, there's been a couple times where I've gone there, and then I thought, I've tried to commit myself to not do this, and I've just stopped. Commit yourself to not bring it up and talk about it out loud. Are you still going to talk about it in your head? Yeah, for the first little bit you are. Stop talking about it out loud. Number two, when the thoughts about the things want to come into your mind, see, what did God say? Forget the former things. So I'm telling you, when the thoughts about the things want to come into your mind, take those thoughts captive. There is a verse in the Bible. I don't have time to go through every verse, but if you want it, come to me after and I'll give you every verse. Take those thoughts captive. When you have that thing that's hurt you so bad and on your bad days, you're going to that place. It is your job and nobody can do it for you. Somebody did me wrong. Okay? I'm having a bad day. I stubbed my toe and I got a flat tire and my boss is being a jerk. Okay, so now that's the perfect storm for me to just go to that place. I don't know why us humans go to that place when we get upset, but it's like when we're upset, we're going to go to everything that's been ever done to us that's hurt us, and we want to dwell up in that place. And see, God is telling you no, not to go there. When those thoughts come in about what was said to you, how they did you wrong, how everybody's like that. Here's a major one. I can't trust anybody, and I don't want to deal with people because everybody will do me that way. No, everybody's not going to do you that way, but the devil wants you to think that. You have to take that thought captive, and you have to get it. And when it's in your mind, and get it right in front of you and say, I'm not going to think you anymore. I'm not giving you no more space in my head anymore. I'm not going to allow you to come in and make me have a bad day because I've done relived the moment that my whatever was mean to me or my life fell apart in that moment. See, it's a choice. And you have to take it captive. And you have to tell it that it can't stay. We had a lady at the food bank the other day. Now, I love people. And people don't think this. They think, oh, that little woman, pastor, she's just a pushover. Get me in the right position or you'll see the pushover. It won't work. One thing that I absolutely do not allow is drama on Wednesdays. God has given me some specific marching orders. And so Wednesday, don't bring your drama. And everybody knows that. Pastor Kelly ain't going to put up with that. There's a little chick, and she wanted to bring her drama. I don't want to work by so-and-so. I don't like them. They do. And I can see Sherry over there, and Sherry's going. And it's like I got antennas on my ears, and I can't hear nothing. I'm getting bad. I don't know if I've just had selective hearing for so long or if I'm really having a hearing problem. I don't know. But when it's something about church, my ears, it's like they got something, like a something in there making me hear everything, and I can hear this stuff. And so my little ears started twitching, and I walked over there. Sherry and I said, what's the problem here? And Sherry goes, well, she don't want to work by so-and-so and all this drama. And I said, look, you need to go. You're leaving now. And I do not even want to hear the rest of the story because it doesn't really matter. You came here. Now, if this is offensive to you, then you're going to have to get over yourself. Because I'm here to train you and to teach you. I'm not here to make you mad. But, you know, and if you get mad at your pastor, shame on you. That just tells you that you can't take nothing off of nobody, and that's why you're still failing at life. Now, that's strong, and not a lot of pastors would say that because a lot of pastors, they care more about the person in the pew than the empty pew. Let me give you a little brief story. This pastor, when I'm all alone and people be leaving the church and all their nonsense, I will come in here, Brother Larry, when it's just me and God, and I will lay my hands on their chair and begin to plead the blood of Jesus over their messed up life and their messed up mind. Why? Because they let the devil take them up where they should be. Don't let me do that to you because you know what? I love you. You call me in the middle of the night, Melissa, will I be there? I will be there. Now, I may be souped up on some Ambien, but I'll be there. I mean, if you want me all there, you better call me before 8:30. Because you may get some weird advice. I mean, you're going to have to let me sleep that off. You got to take them thoughts captive. Because if you don't, nobody will, and you're going to keep having them things. God wants you whole, emotionally. So the Word tells us, forget the former things. So when the thoughts come about the things, He wants you to take those captive. He tells you in His Word, take every thought captive. Make it line up to the Word. Does the Word tell you that it's okay to walk in unforgiveness about the person that did you wrong? See, it doesn't tell you that you're able to do that. It tells you that under no circumstances can you keep unforgiveness. So when we keep the unforgiveness, we make the decision that we are not going to be emotionally whole. And we're not going to be emotionally stable because we're making the conscious decision to go against the Word of God. I got one amen, and I'll take it. Amen. How many of you want to be good up in your emotions? How many of you have had some bad days emotionally? Oh, yes. If you will get in here and you will do this Word, the Word will help you to get better. I'm not telling you that you're not going to struggle, but what I am telling you is that you can get stronger, and some of this stuff that's bothered you a whole bunch can bother you less and less. So, set a goal that you can reach. Set a goal that you can reach and say, I will not talk about this for 1 week. If that's too much for you, I will not talk about this for 20 minutes. I will not allow myself to think about this for the whole day. I told these two guys right here, I'm done talking about this. Did I not tell you the other day? I'm done. Did I talk about it a little? Yeah. You know why I told them? I want them to keep me accountable. You think you're going to get up in life and just be free as a whistle and have no accountability? That ain't how life works, because, see, the Word says God has placed every authority. God has given people that will help you stay accountable if you'll invite them up into your life. A lot of people don't want to be accountable. They don't want nobody telling them nothing. Why? Because they're rebellious. Rebels usually aren't successful, by the way. You don't believe me? Just get into the Word. See how it worked out for all of them. Set a goal that you can reach. I will not speak of this for this many days or this many minutes. When you reach the goal, continue on. Okay, I went for an hour. And I didn't go there in my mind. I went for an hour and I didn't speak about this in my mind. Let's go for 2 hours. Do not despise the days of small beginnings. You have to start somewhere. Let it be today, right here, in this moment. The Word says that now, if you hear my voice today, don't harden your heart. See, God is talking to people because you've been indulging like you got a big old fat a banana split, and you've just been eating all these emotions. I think I've gained like 15 pounds doing that. I'm going to have to stop that. Go with me now. Okay, one more little thing here. Change your perspective. Change your perspective. A lot of times we get in these negative places emotionally. We've done binged on all the things that the people did, all the things that they said, all the things that we did and all this stuff. And we get ourselves so miserable that we don't even know what, you know, change your perspective. Last Sunday, I was feeling depressed. I was thinking about people too much and what I felt like they did and how they did it and all this stuff. And, you know, you can get yourself in a bad mood. You don't need the devil for that. A lot of people, well, the devil got me in a bad mood. No, he didn't. And stop glorifying him for things he didn't do. You got yourself in a bad mood. Now own it. Amen? Change your perspective. I was telling God, well, God, I don't got this, and God, I don't got that. I don't have anybody to do this. And he said, Kelly, look at what you do have. Look at what you do have, because what you have is some things that most pastors do not have. Most pastors do not have a Charlie Jackson that just walked out and had to go pee. Look here. I wouldn't trade Charlie for nobody. Not some young buck that could sit there and help me with the check. No, I wouldn't trade him for anybody. He has been there through thick and thin. And there were some times where it was real thin. It was real hard. Dad, am I lying? Man, that man has been there, and he has been faithful to an absolute T. He's been on his deathbed before and said, Pastor, I'm not going to be in church. They're taking me to the hospital, and I just want you to know I'm not going to be there. And I'm like, in my heart, I'm almost like embarrassed because he's calling me. Because you know what, Moni, I understand. But you know what? It's about honor. Nobody wants to be accountable for nothing anymore. Me just asking people that do something in the church, please let me know if you're not going to be there. That is so offensive to people that people leave churches over that. Nobody wants to be accountable for nothing. And people get offended. I'm going to tell you something. We get offended at what people do, about what they say, about how they hurt us. And then we keep those things and we collect them. God's asking you not to collect that stuff. He's asking you to fail at remembering them. Change your perspective. Change the way that you're looking at it. I've learned out of my own personal experience that I've walked around wounded a long time in my life, and that's been a choice. And I chose it. And one of the ways that I kept going with that is that I kept a record. I kept a record. A lot of us keep a record mentally about what people have done and what they've said. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Sometimes we struggle to forget the things, the former things, because we still have the records and we're still keeping records. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm going to start at verse 1. If I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. So you can have everything, but when you lack love, it puts you at nothing. God is asking you to love him more than you love the grudge. I'm going to say that one more time. God is asking you to love him more than you love the grudge. God is asking you to love him more than you love the pity party. Many times, here is what I have learned. The people that are closest to you are going to be the ones that hurt you the most. You are going to have to make the decision that you are going to have a relationship or you are going to have the grudge, but you will not be able to have both. God's trying to talk to somebody up in here today. The Word says, now choose you this day, blessing or cursing, life or death. Everything that goes on in your life, it was a choice. Something bad happened to you. You've got a choice to make. How are you going to handle it? God's asking you to have love more than you have the grudge. You can't have both. If I give all that I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Verse 4, and it explains to us what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. And it is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. You know, one day, God said, Kelly, will you just let me keep score? Will you just let me do that? Will you stop trying to do my job, and you've kept all these records of all these things that people have done and all the things that they've said? Will you just let me do that? God tells us in his Word, love keeps no record of wrongs. Well, I don't love that person. I actually hate their guts. I'm not talking about your love for them. If I asked every person in this building, do you love God? You'd all say yes. I believe that that would be true. Do you love him more than you love that record book that you got? Do you love him more than you love your record keeping? I went to the doctor the other day. I believe in doctors. You're not going to hear me up here saying anything bad about them. I was in the medical field for 15 years. I love my doctor, and she said, well, let's just run some tests and let's do some stuff. And in the meantime, why don't you journal? God, I don't have time for journaling. What do you think I am? I mean, no, I don't even like to read. I don't want to journal. Well, boy, I got fired up one night this week, Paul. And I think somebody in the church had bought me a little journal book. So there I went, got my pen out, started journaling. I journaled for like 2 hours. And it was all stuff that Frank did wrong. And I said I'd tell it. Well, the next day I got over it. Because I was able to see I was just a little irrational. I mean, a smidge. And I started to worry about, I hope he didn't get that record book. My God, I hope he didn't leave it out where he could read all the things I really thought in the moment. How many of you, we're going back to your emotions, you can think some stuff in a moment of heat and passion, okay? See, we're going to get where we live. Some of us, we keep this for 30 years. Well, who did you wrong? Well, it was blah, 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 blah. When did that happen? Like last week? No, it happened 30 years ago. See, I've talked to people, that's how they are. I've been that way at times. We know them, okay? Well, the night after, Tom, I was like, oh, my God. I hope he didn't read that. I got that record. And them journaling that heifer told me to do, I ain't doing that. That's incriminating. And I got a lighter. And I thought, I'm going to destroy this evidence. And I tried to light that thing and it wouldn't get fired up. So I took it and I shredded it up. The littlest pieces I could get. And I forgot that just now, I forgot I just bought a shredder. So that was more work I didn't have to do. And then I went to the kitchen sink and I stuffed it all in a cup and I ran water and I got it all clay-like. And then I got it in a little ball. And then I dug in the trash and I got my little clay ball with all my thoughts and I put it in the trash can in the very bottom. And then I prayed over the trash. Lord, please don't let Frank get up in the trash and find this to be able to read a word. What did I say? You don't want to know. It wasn't anything too bad, but I got some thoughts. Okay. Well, stop keeping a record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but it keeps no record of wrongs. Some of us, we're walking around in our daily life, and we have a big gaping hole in the middle of who we are, in the middle of our soul, in the middle of everything that is us. And at the very core of why we have that, we have a record book that we've kept. And on our bad days, we pull it off of the shelf and we begin to relive the pain and relive the grief and relive the hurt. God is asking you today to let that go and to get it out of you. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18 again. Forget the former things. That's the first part of this verse, and we have gone through that and digested that. The second part says, do not dwell on the past. Do not dwell on the past. And the word dwell means to remain or to keep living there. So what is he saying? Don't live in your past. You're going to either live in today or you're going to live in your past, but you can't live in both of those places at the same time. How do we not dwell in the past? Go with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. I'm going to tell you something. At the end of the day, it don't matter what somebody else did to you on this earth. God says, I dearly love you. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. 13, bear with each other and forgive each other whatever grievances that you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Well, you don't know what they did. It doesn't matter what they did. It matters what God did for you. And how did he forgive you? I'm pretty sure that when God forgives, he never brings it back up to you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. See, you're going to either have a hole in who you are and in your life, or you're going to have peace that's ruling up in that heart. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. See, God has not called you to live in offense or hurt or pain or regret or grief or mourning. He has called you to live in peace and be thankful. Verse 16, how do we not dwell in the past? Here it is. Let the word of Christ dwell, live in you richly. We just read where it said, do not dwell on the past. Now I'm taking you, okay, we can't live in our past. Where do we live? Let the word of Christ dwell inside of you. You cannot live in your past. You need to make the decision you're not living there. What else do we need to do? Let the word dwell, live inside of you. Let it come into your life and change your life. Because this is a living thing. Once you allow something to come in and live, it's there. How many of you noticed this tomato bush that's really out of control as you walked into the church? Let me tell you something. That thing is tacky and it looks terrible. I know it. But I am letting it stay because I want you to be reminded when you come into this place, will I take it down? Yeah, here in a little bit, a month or two. We're letting it stay because the history of that plant is very significant for a lot of your lives right now. It started, Angel, with just a little tomato seed that somebody was eating tomatoes and they just popped a seed out and it landed there and it took root. And therefore, now we've got a tomato plant that's grown up with the flowers. If you will put the word inside of you, you will grow. The word will branch out and it will transform your life to something you never thought that you could have. Brenda babe, true or false? Are you living a life that you didn't ever think you could have? That's called the God kind of life. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let peace rule. What's ruling you today? Let the word dwell inside of you. And the word says, let it dwell in you richly. Richly. It tells you how. The adjective of how we're going to let the word come in and live richly. Richly. In excess. Let it. Let the word live in you richly. What is the word let? Allow. Allow. Allow the word to come inside of your life, correct you, direct you, guide you. For every believer that allows the word to come in and correct them, that person is unstoppable. Direct them and guide them, that person's unstoppable. But only the word can do that. How do we get all of the hurt and pain out of us? Let the word come inside of you and it'll take care of that. Psalms chapter 119. We're going to look at verse 105. There's times where we get so messed up, so hurt, so broken, so overwhelmed by what's been done to us or maybe by what we've done. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet. See, when you don't know which way to go, when you're lost, when you're hurting, when you're discouraged, when you're disappointed, when you're heavy-hearted, when somebody's done something and you never thought that they even had that possible, they could do something like that to you. Where do you go? You go to the Word. Why? Because it is a light for you. It's going to show you where to go. It's going to show you how to live. It's going to show you how to work through that. You can go and do all this stuff in vain to try to get yourself happy. You can go shopping. You can go do this. You can go do that. But until you've gotten inside of the Word of God and the Word of God has gotten inside of you and you've allowed it to light your path so you can go where you're supposed to go and be what you're supposed to be, you're going to keep going in a circle. And a light for my path. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look in verse 12. For the word of God, it is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. See, when you make it up to heaven and God said, why'd you have such a bad attitude? Why did you stay with that offense? Why did you never let it go? See, God's not into you keeping that hurt and that pain. He's saying, why did you keep that? At the end of the day, it's because it was a decision that you made. You chose to keep it and nurse it and nourish it and nurture it so it always stayed with you. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. I'm asking you today, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Is your heart wounded? Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 9. This is going to be in the King James Version. Guys up there. And give me Matthew chapter 6. Give me 3 or 4 verses. King James Version. Dad, you have, is that a King James that you've got right there? Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 9. This is how the Word of God tells us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, don't you want to, why would you want to talk to any people about some of this stuff when you can just talk to God? Because just depending on the day, you might catch somebody in a wrong mood themselves and they're going to steer you the wrong way. You just do better to talk to God about some of this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Stop worrying and thinking about, well, what are they going to do to me next time? What are they going to say to me next time? What, you know what? Live in today. God, give me just today. Help me to succeed in today. Help me to do what you would have me to do today. God, keep my emotions in check today. Why are we preaching about this? Because somebody, and probably more than somebody, because I mean, it's to me first, somebody's having some trouble keeping their emotions. Your emotions are spilling over, and God wants to love on you today and help you. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I didn't say this next part. God said it. And forgive us our debts. In another translation, it says, and forgive us our trespasses. With all them thoughts that you've kept of the something somebody done to you, do you realize and are you mature enough to understand that there's somebody else in this earth and you've done something to them and they're going to have to say the same prayer about you? So we best come to God holy and in reality and saying, Lord, forgive me my trespasses as I choose to forgive others their trespasses against me. God, I'm wrong, and God, they're wrong too. Lord, forgive all of us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others that trespass against us. What is true forgiveness? The record book just goes totally away. The reliving it goes totally away. How much more effective can you be whole? How much better could you be without all of the weight that's holding you down by all the emotional garbage that we choose to keep? See, we choose to keep it. It's a collection. It's the collection that God says, I want it. I want your collection of the former things. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many of you know that there's a side of you that's evil? Now look here, I didn't say it, but there's a side of all of us. Maybe it don't come out until we're really in a mood, Brother Charlie, but we got a side to us. I don't care who it is. There's a side to all of us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. From the evil we create, from the evil that this person has created for me, from the evil of this world that we're living in. God, I want deliverance from all of it. Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I'm going to sum all of this up, believe it or not. I was in a meeting this week. And I was around a bunch of pastors. Now, when you get around a bunch of pastors, what we all like to do is we like to act like we're all doing great. Our congregations are all doing fabulous. And we as pastors have no problems. And God said, Kelly, I want you to share this with this pastor because I'm going to have this pastor speak into your life. I circled that building three times going, Lord, are you sure? I don't want to say this. I don't want to act like I've got a problem. I want to just be the blonde pastor that's feeding everybody, the one that everybody thinks has no problems. No, you're going to talk to them because they're going to speak into your life. God. Okay. So I said, I'm having a problem. I need some advice. Person gets in my car. And they begin to speak. I begin to tell them. And I just had a moment. And I said, and she said, let it go. I said, I'm trying to let it go, but I do not know how to let it go. I need you to tell me how to let it go. Have you ever wondered that? Somebody said, well, just let it go. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but tell me how to do that. Because I ain't the person that can just do things like that. She said, Kelly, you're going to find it in your heart to have a release, and you're going to release that. I'm not telling you it's not going to hurt anymore. But what I'm telling you is that for your good, there has to be a release. Go with me now, last place this morning, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Y'all turn that down just a smidge, very low. We're still turning it down. Very low. put me some different music on if you can't get it very low. So God's saying, release that to me. Release it. You say, how? How do I let it go? Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Here I am. See, sometimes we're sitting there and we're saying, God, where are you? God's saying, here I am. I'm right here. I haven't moved. I haven't moved. I'm standing at that door. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice, see, this is a two-part thing. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. So can you hear him? Have you heard him today? Are you thinking, ooh, I've been focusing on this stuff. I've dealt with this just this week. If anyone hears my voice and opens up the door. See, how do we let it go? How do we let it go? We open the door. We open the door. How many of you know when you open the door, you're going to let something out? Nothing's coming out till we open up. I will come in and eat with that person, and they will eat with me. Some of us just been eating by ourselves. I'm eating up all the pain today, God. I'm eating up all the grief today. I'm eating up all the stuff that they said. I'm eating up everything that they did. And you keep on eating that, and you're wondering why you're not having a good time in your life. God says, if you'll let me come into there. See, do you hear me knocking? Do you hear me talking to you? What do you want me to do, God? I just want you to open up the door. I want you to open up that door, and I want you to let me come in. And then what does God want us to do, Sherry? He wants us to let him eat with us. What are we going to eat with God? Peace. A sound mind. Joy. Now, I got a question for you. And I don't want you standing unless you're dead serious. Because the problem with people is they like, it's 12 o'clock, Pastor, I want to go. We're going to all stand. We're going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here in just a minute. But this is serious. Do you got something that you need to open the door to, and you need to let that thing out? Because, see, God's wanting you whole this morning. God's wanting you emotionally whole. He's wanting you to say, you know what? I don't want that inside of me anymore. That's caused me a lot of pain. If you're ready, see, you're going to know if you're ready. Are you ready to just say, I want to let it go, and I'm going to open up the door? I want you to stand. Y'all turn that down just for a moment. You're going to find yourself this week. And I'm going to read this one more time. You really want to get through this part of your life? I do. I do. Jill, I don't want to live with what I've been living with in pain and just all the stuff that's happened in the ministry. I could journal about that forever. Commit to not speaking about it out loud. Commit to it. Set a goal. I'm not going to speak about it. Whatever God will show you that length of time. When you get to that end of that length of time, hey, you may fall down 10 times. Stay committed. Stay committed. At the end of that goal, evaluate how you did. Set another goal. Keep setting it. I'm not going to speak about it. Change your perspective. Change your perspective. I just can't stand that person. They're going to always be this way. Change your perspective. God remains the same. God, yeah, this person, they may stay the same, but God, you do too. You do too, God. And because of that, it don't matter what this person does. Because, God, it matters what you do. Change your perspective. Stop keeping the record. Stop keeping the record. The record has to go. Release. Release. As often as you have to, release. When you find yourself in that bad moment in this week and you're just, maybe you're crying, maybe you're weeping, you're just having a wave of depression because you've allowed your mind to go there, release. Open up the door and say, God, right here, here's another piece of this. I'm going to release it to you. And you keep turning it over. Keep turning it over to God. I'm going to pray right now. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that it fell on ground, that God, they are going to live out the sermon in Jesus' name. Lord, for every person in here, I ask that you would put their emotions on the right course. God, make us whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, we want to see you tonight at 5:30.